It's Friday, February 17th, and this is your WFYI Weekly News Roundup. I'm Taylor Bennett. An anti-Planned Parenthood rally in Indianapolis was one of about 200 held across the country last weekend. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Jill Sheridan reports on the rally to defund the Women's Reproductive Health Service and the counter-rally held at the Statehouse.
In front of a Planned Parenthood clinic on the northwest side of Indianapolis, about 150 people listened to speakers from anti-abortion groups. They say the federal and state governments should no longer give money to Planned Parenthood. President of Students for Life at Indiana University, Jenna Fisher, says it was important for her to be there.
I know that countless of my classmates, the people sitting next to me in class on the bus, go there for abortions, and I know that that hurts them permanently.
The nonprofit receives more than $500 million a year in government funding, and speakers at the rally want this money diverted to federally qualified health centers that don't perform abortions. Planned Parenthood supporters held a counter-rally at the Statehouse. Riley Sanderson was one of about 250 attending. Sanderson has used Planned Parenthood services.
I just want people to know that Planned Parenthood is more than just an abortion clinic. It's health care to provide women with the health care that they need.
The nonprofit does provide a variety of reproductive health services, including birth control. Supporters say stripping federal funding will seriously limit reproductive health care access. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Jill Sheridan.
Faith leaders, lawyers, politicians, and residents spoke at a rally in Indianapolis to support immigrant protections. The rally comes at the end of a tense weekend for immigrant communities after reports that Immigration and Customs Enforcement has been conducting aggressive deportation raids in a handful of states. Officials said in a statement that the raids were routine. Alicia De Los Santos, a local resident, told the crowd her husband is currently being deported.
Un 14 de septiembre, mi esposo salió, iba a ir a componer a su carro el mecánico y él ya no regresó.
On the 14th of September, my husband took his car to the mechanic and he never came home.
She has four children and her story highlights the worry that some have that mass deportations Trump has vowed to carry out would tear families apart. Faith leaders at the rally called for Indianapolis to become a sanctuary city, despite the fact that Indiana law essentially prohibits them. Mayor Joe Hogsett didn't mention sanctuary cities in his speech, but he did say his administration would make a commitment.
To ensure that not one dime of city resources fund anything that a court has determined to be discriminatory or unconstitutional.
Marion County Sheriff John Layton was scheduled to speak, but didn't attend. The Delphi community was stunned by the discovery of two bodies along Deer Creek in Carroll County. The remains were identified as 13-year-old Abby Williams and Libby German. They disappeared Monday while hiking along the wooded trails outside of Delphi. The Carroll County Sheriff says residents should not fear for their safety, but they should be cautious.
I don't want to discourage anyone from using the system, and as far as the trail system, it's there for a purpose for recreation. And so I feel that folks should continue with business as usual, but you know, be more mindful and watch their surroundings, the environment a little closer. And again, report anything that doesn't look right or looks unordinary to us. And so that we can follow into it.
The girls' deaths are being investigated as homicides. A court has upheld the prison sentence for the driver of a church bus that crashed near Indianapolis, killing a 6-year-old boy and injuring 11 other people. The Indiana Appeals Court rejected arguments from 55-year-old Charles Goodman of Chicago. The prosecutors were wrongly allowed to present a photograph of the boy's body to jurors during his trial. The appeals court decision issued left in place Goodman's sentence of 3 years in prison and 3 years of probation for driving while intoxicated, causing death. Police officers in Indianapolis will soon have access to specialized safety and tactical equipment. The Indianapolis FOP called upon local city county councilors and the mayor last year to allocate emergency funding for protective gear. That funding has been approved. FOP President Rick Snyder.
Purpose for this equipment, this would not be daily wear equipment or anything such as that, but it is additional higher levels of protections for our officers when they are responding to a known active incident.
The funding should provide every IMPD officer with a ballistic helmet and an external tactical carrier with rifle plate armor.
Most people understand that when we send our SWAT team on an incident. It's a known incident, and they have additional layers of protection because they're usually, in those incidents, dealing with known armed individuals or potentially armed individuals. And so they add that extra protection. It's the same thing that we want to do for our officers. And unfortunately, what we're finding is that more and more often, they are the first line of defense, and they're right into the middle of a situation that, frankly, we don't have time for our SWAT team to get there for.
A newly established FOP Safety Equipment Committee will work with the police chief on the distribution of the equipment. The City of Indianapolis kicked off Project Indy this week. The program is designed to connect young people ages 18 to 24 with summer jobs. Over 1,000 people were hired during the initiative last year. Muncie's building commissioner was arrested by federal authorities a month after his city office and home were searched by the FBI.
In a statement, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Indianapolis says 38-year-old Craig Nichols has been indicted on charges of wire fraud, theft, and money laundering. Nichols has been Muncie's building commissioner since 2012. Federal officials say Nichols abused his position to steer work to his private contracting companies using sham bidding practices and fake invoices. Charges say he also billed Muncie for $376,000 of work the companies never actually undertook or completed at inflated prices. According to city data, Muncie has paid Nichols' companies nearly $800,000 since 2013. Nichols made his first appearance in federal court in Indianapolis on Wednesday. The U.S. Attorney's Office says if he is convicted of all charges, he could be sentenced to up to 20 years in prison. A statement from the city of Muncie says officials will speak on Nichols' arrest at a Thursday morning news conference. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Stephanie Weekman.
You're listening to WFYI's Weekly News Roundup. I'm Taylor Bennett. Just days after a federal judge shut down a $54 billion merger between health insurers Anthem and Cigna on anti-competitive grounds, a move by Connecticut's Cigna seeks to dump the Indianapolis-based company once and for all. Cigna officials announced this week that they had sued Anthem in a Delaware court, seeking a judge's affirmation that the company had lawfully ducked out of the merger agreement and that Anthem couldn't extend the merger's expiration date. As expected, Cigna is hoping to collect from Anthem a large breakup fee, a kind of corporate prenuptial agreement that stipulates Anthem will pay Cigna $1.8 billion if the merger doesn't go through. If Obamacare is repealed, more Americans may lose coverage and struggle to afford health care. This is nothing new in Neosho, Missouri, a small town in a state that didn't expand Medicaid. One local doctor has turned to an alternative medical model to meet the needs of the uninsured. It's not insurance, but it is an affordable program that helps patients access at least basic health care. Rebecca Smith with Side Effects Public Media filed this report.
In Neosho, Missouri, a town of about 12,000 in the rural southwestern part of the state, sits a tire shop called Norm the Tire Man. It's been owned by Joe Morris for almost 20 years. Joe's not been to the doctor for more than 40 years, since a physical during his high school days. But then last Easter,
I had a heart attack Easter Sunday, and of course didn't have no insurance.
That heart attack has left him on the hook for more than $100,000 in doctor's bills, and he still needs follow-up care, like heart medications. So Joe tried going to a nearby doctor, but with no health insurance, each appointment cost him $285. He says he just couldn't justify it.
You know, I could either have a home and eat, or give it to a doctor and live on the street.
But then on the radio, he heard about a doctor in town who didn't require insurance, and who offered unlimited office visits, some labs and medications it cost, and 24/7 access to him by phone or text, all for just $60 a month.
You cut out the insurance and you cut out a lot of the overhead that's generated by the insurance billing process, and the prices come down considerably.
That's Dr. Joseph Shepard. He runs the Free Market Physician Clinic in Neosho, the one Joe heard about. It's a direct primary care, or DPC, clinic. He says he's been open for just over 2 years and already has about 490 patients in town signed up. Now, direct primary care is not insurance. It's more like a membership program, an inexpensive way for people to get basic medical care. So there's no additional deductible or copays, but there's also no emergency coverage for something like Joe's heart attack. So Dr. Shepard suggests his patients also purchase a catastrophic health insurance plan, which run about $260 a month if you can manage to qualify for one. Joe says he thinks if he'd been able to see a doctor for regular checkups over all those years,
I probably wouldn't have had a heart attack then.
Access to affordable primary care is especially important in a place like Neosho. In Newton County, where Neosho is located, nearly a quarter of adults are uninsured and 15% of people live below the poverty line. According to healthcare.gov in Newton County, the average cost of a bronze plan for one person on the marketplace, that's the most basic level, would still be about $325 a month. Dr. Shepherd says that's just too pricey for some in the area.
Even if the plans are quote-unquote affordable, they might not be a wise financial decision.
DPC clinics are becoming more popular. There are now more than 500 across the country, according to one advocacy group, DPC Frontier. Dr. Michael Munger is the president-elect of the American Academy of Family Physicians. He says direct primary care is filling a gap.
The patient demographics have been lower income, but also those who maybe have chronic illnesses.
Back in Neosho, for some residents, direct primary care may be one of the only options for seeing a doctor, short of going to the ER. Mechanic Joe Morris says he just wouldn't go if not for Dr. Shepherd. And Joe also helped his one employee, Sean O'Hara, who has multiple chronic conditions, get signed up. And Sean put it this way, without Dr. Shepherd...
Yeah, I just couldn't afford it.
So what would you be doing? Just probably, getting sicker?
Yeah, I'm getting sicker and let my blood pressure just go higher and higher until I probably croak from it.
Rebecca Smith, Side Effects Public Media.
Each year, the state allocates millions of dollars in bonuses to Indiana's highest-rated teachers, but they don't all get the same amount of money. And this year, some got $2,500 and others nothing at all.
Heather Peacock is not the only teacher in her family.
Both my sister and sister-in-law are teachers.
All three of them teach in Indianapolis school districts. All are rated highly effective teachers, the highest ranking. And they all received their state bonuses at the end of 2016.
We were all together at Christmas, and while I didn't begrudge any one of them for the extra money coming on their check, I thought it was really interesting that we had all been evaluated as highly effective by our school administrators, and we were all receiving different amounts of money.
One sister got $2,200, one got $900, and Peacock, she got $47. Why? While the schools rate their teachers, a state formula allocates the money, and it's mostly based on ISTEP scores. Teachers like Peacock, whose students didn't perform as well on the state test, received a lower bonus. Peacock's taught at Wayne Township's McClelland Elementary for 18 years. A third of her students are English language learners, and around half of her class uses special education services, which means a big part of her week is spent.
Well, my kids are famous for saying, another meeting?
Because the special learning plans require check-ins with parents and administrators, which means planning classes for substitutes and more paperwork. Peacock is usually at McClelland Elementary from 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. and most Sundays. She says she'd like to see the bonus formula change because...
It could have really helped, but we didn't, my husband and I, we didn't dwell on it.
25 miles away at Carmel Clay Schools, Superintendent Nick Wall was also not pleased when the bonuses came out.
It was very sad, to be quite frank.
In the current bonus formula, dictated by ISTEP scores, his highly effective teachers got the largest bonus in the state, around $2,500. But he says this formula has to change.
Because we have public school teachers across the state, you know, from urban to suburban to rural, who are doing very good things in the classroom every day. And unfortunately, it sends them a message that they're not as important, per se. And I think that's very unfortunate.
Wall says the state needs to value all of its top-rated public school teachers equally, from Heather Peacock in Wayne Township to one of his highest-rated teachers, Julie Arnold.
You didn't have enough math today, Jackson? 2 hours didn't do it for you?
It's obvious when you walk into Arnold's fifth grade gifted class at Forestdale Elementary in Carmel. Her kids love learning.
For science today, we did the science of water bottle flipping.
I asked one of her students, Lily, what she thought made Arnold a good teacher.
She gives us choices. Like, some people learn a different way than others, and like, she'll let people group together and some work on their own.
And like Peacock, when she goes home, she plans classes, does her paperwork, and answers parent emails for about 4 to 5 hours. She takes Saturday off, but works in her classroom every Sunday.
I think of myself as a teacher for the whole child, and so those things are are necessary.
Arnold also disagrees with the bonus formula.
I've never met a teacher who didn't spend countless hours outside of the classroom, who didn't fully invest in what they were doing during the day, and at considerable sacrifice.
Administrators in both districts have lobbied lawmakers for change. Many would rather see the formula based on student growth. So a teacher would get a bonus based on how students improved on testing throughout the year, regardless if they passed the test or not. Even if the formula stays the same, both teachers say they don't expect a bonus. And Wayne Township's Peacock says she gets that validation for doing a good job from her students and their families.
You know, I'm not here for a bonus. I didn't become a teacher to make piles of money. I love what I do. I tell people all the time, it's a great gig. It's my life's work, so I'm pleased to come and do it every day.
Peacock and many of her colleagues in Wayne Township donated their $47 bonuses to their district's education foundation, which gives teachers grants to try new things in the classroom. So far, they've raised $4,000. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Claire McInerney.
State Representative Carrie Hamilton is a new lawmaker to the Indiana State House. The Indianapolis Democrat was elected last November to represent House District 87. Hamilton has been focusing on public policy issues. She would like to create a matching grant for communities interested in infrastructure.
The importance of connectivity in future transportation investments, and in particular, I'm talking about connecting neighborhoods to neighborhoods, neighborhoods to schools, neighborhoods to commercial areas with sidewalks and multi-use paths.
Hamilton decided to run for office when Christina Hale dropped out to become the running mate of Democratic candidate for Governor John Gregg. Hamilton says that she would like to see more people get involved in the political process.
Because of the divisiveness of our country and the high profile of the recent election, we are seeing a surge of interest in, you know, people wanting to participate and learning what that means and how they can get involved. And I think that's really exciting. That's a positive outcome of this election. Again, regardless of your political party, democracy, I mentioned democracy works in the middle. I think it also works, it requires people to participate.
Carrie has worked in the environmental field for more than 20 years. She is the executive director of the Indiana Recycling Coalition. This is the weekly news roundup on WFYI. Indiana athletes helped the U.S. bring home 19 medals during last year's Olympics, and they won't have to claim those winnings on their taxes. Indiana is one of a few states that provides Olympians with a special income tax exemption.
Legislators passed a bill in 2014 that means Olympic medals and bonuses from the U.S. Olympic Committee aren't subject to state income taxes. Tax attorney Ben Blair says Congress passed a similar measure last year.
So there's a sort of overlap this year where Indiana Olympians could actually get it deducted twice.
For professional athletes like Pacers guard Paul George, it's not a huge tax break. But Blair says it's a decent perk for student athletes.
That's like having another $25,000 of income, which means there's an additional $5,000, $6,000 depending of tax that's getting paid over.
Blair says the tax exemption has little impact on the state's bottom line. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Barbara Brozier.
Well, divorce can be a roller coaster of emotions. Holiday Miller and Valerie Shepherd are so-called experts in divorce. Their friendship began after they both had married and divorced the same man. Well, they shared their story and their new guide, The Ex-Wife's Guide to Divorce, at the Indy Women's Expo over the weekend. Valerie Shepherd says that divorce is painful, but women need to know how to manage the business of divorce.
You know, we say throughout the book, put your big girl panties on and realize this is going to chart out your life, especially if you have children, you know, for anywhere from the next 2 to 18, you know, years, or even further than that. So we really wanted to give women that leg up and that girlfriend voice of saying, girl, put down the thin mints and take off the yoga pants, you know. Be the girl boss that we know you are and treat this like a business transaction.
Valerie and Holiday aren't lawyers or psychologists, but they've experienced the process firsthand, and they offer advice on how to build a support system and come out ahead.
Give that woman who needs that girlfriend. We were so lucky to be able to go through divorce together. not everybody has that. So it was important for us to give women that girlfriend they could lean on and use for advice.
Both women hope the Ex-Wives Guide to Divorce can ease women's fears, save them money, and give them a roadmap of what lies ahead. This is the Weekly News Roundup on 90.1 WFYI. I'm Taylor Bennett. A big concert announcement was made this week. Pacers Sports and Entertainment and Live Nation announced that Billy Joel will perform at Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Friday, November 3rd. Tickets for the concert go on sale Friday, February 23rd at 9 a.m. Indianapolis Motor Speedway officials unveiled the ticket design for this year's 500 race.
So per tradition, the ticket features the previous Indy 500 champion. So in this case, that is Alexander Rossi from Team Andretti. It's actually a really great photo taken just after the customary swig of milk from the Indy 500 champion. Shows sort of that look of excitement and maybe the first moment of actually realizing, hey, I just won the Indy 500. So it's a really fantastic shot that we think our fans are really going to enjoy. And it's quite a colorful photo that shows sort of the real look and feel of Victory Circle and the whole panorama of emotions that every single member of the team might feel as sort of victory dawns upon them. So it's a quite vivid shot.
Track spokesman Alex Damrod. The ticket design was unveiled at Cummins headquarters in downtown Indy, which has special significance.
Founder of Cummins, Plessy Cummins, was actually part of a pit crew in the very first race. And throughout several editions of the Indy 500, Cummins engineers have actually tested their latest advancements at the Indy 500. As we decided to go out into the community and host our ticket unveil downtown, we really felt that Cummins tied in to our message of historical innovation over time at the track and throughout the community here in Indianapolis.
Track officials are promising excitement leading up to the big race.
Throughout the 101-day countdown, we're going to have a lot of events in central Indiana and regional and national events as well to really get everybody excited for the 101st edition of the Great Spectacle in Racing.
Tickets are on sale now and will ship out mid to late March. Race day is Sunday, May 28th. You've been listening to the WFYI Weekly News Roundup. You can get the latest local news anytime online at our website, WFYI.org. Stay tuned for Indiana Lawmakers, a weekly look at the Indiana General Assembly. I'm Taylor Bennett.